Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Read the Word. Another wonderful reading from Jesus' life and ministry. And it's interesting because Jesus walking on the water and feeding the 5,000 is in all four of the books.
Wow.
It's interesting to see that those two miracles are actually in all four of the Gospels. And I find it interesting of the other ones that are not. But Holy Spirit knows what he's doing. And, you know, I haven't read the verses lately, so I'm just going to flip back here and read them right now. And when you read this in 2 Peter chapter 1, Uh, 19 through 21, and so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. For prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were inspired by the Holy Spirit. And so every bit of this is inspired by Holy Spirit and therefore has a level of power to it that's more powerful than Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Peter and Paul. Because this, even though they're the writer, they're just really, they're the scribe or the oracle, however you want to put it. Oracle is the spoken word. Scribe is the written word. And it's just interesting to me to see that these, all four Gospels have these four stories in them. And we're going to be reading again today. So here we go. Hold your Bible up. Make your confession with me. This is my Bible.
This is my Bible.
I believe what God's Word says.
I believe what God's Word says.
And when I say that, the angels come in with beautiful music. I receive the Word of God.
I receive the word of God.
And plant him as a seed.
And plant him as a seed.
In the good soil of my heart.
In the good soil of my heart.
Knowing that when I hear this read.
Knowing that when I hear this read.
Blessing comes from God.
Blessing comes from God.
Into my life.
Into my life.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
And amen. And amen. And what we have tonight. It's just a multitude of volume of technology. Ask that all those of you in the live viewing audience, please mute your electronic devices effectively so we don't have any needless interruptions.
Got it.
And then usually it's the guy that just said the announcement that it's the first one to have his go off. All right, so it's no big deal. Luke chapter 9, verse 1, then he called his 12 disciples together, gave them power and authority over all the demons, and to cure diseases. He sent them to preach the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. What were they to preach? The first church on the corner? No, the kingdom of God. And he said to them, take nothing for the journey, neither staffs, nor bag, nor bread, nor money. Do not have two tunics apiece. Whatever house you enter, stay there, and from there depart. And whoever will not receive you when you go out of that city, shake off the very dust from your feet as a testimony against them. That's really serious. So they departed and went through the towns, preaching the gospel and healing everywhere. Verse 7. Now Herod the Tetrarch heard of all that was done by him, me and Jesus, and he was perplexed because it was said by some that John the Baptist had risen from the dead. Well, he cut his head off, so it's like, whoa, what night is he going to show up in my bedroom? But all through history, God has shown up in people's bedrooms. And it's recorded in the annals of actual secular history also. And so these kings know. And, you know, Herod knew. He knew he was. Elijah or John was. 8. And by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the old prophets had risen again. Herod said, John I have beheaded, but who is this whom I hear such things? So he sought to see him, speaking of Jesus. In Luke chapter 9, verse 10. And the apostles, when they returned, told him all that he had done. They had done. Then he took them and went aside privately into a deserted place belonging to the city called Bethsaida. But when the multitudes knew that he was there, they followed him, and he received them and spoke to them about the kingdom of God and healed those who had need of healing. When the day began to wear away, the 12 came and said to him, send the multitude away, that they may go into the surrounding towns and country and lodge and get provisions, for we are in a deserted place. But he said to them, you give them something to eat. You think about what they just said. These people followed Jesus into a deserted place.
Yeah.
With no food. Now, there's 20,000 of them, 1,000 people in this crowd. Because he's getting ready to feed 5,000 men. Now, I don't know the answer to this, but it's intriguing to me that those people would leave Jesus' meeting and then just go into the city and knock on somebody's door. Can I stay with you and eat your food? And they said, we have no more than 5 loaves and 2 fish unless we go and buy food for all these people. For there were about 5,000 men. He said to his disciples, make them sit down in groups of 50. And they did so and made them all sit down. Then he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fish, looking up to heaven, he blessed and broke them and gave them to the disciples to set before the multitude. So they all ate and were filled, and 12 baskets of the leftover fragments were taken up by them. Did it multiply in his hands, in the disciples' hands? Did somebody come up with baskets enough so that each, did baskets just appear to put the fish and loaves in each group of 50? I mean, you got to think about handing out food for 10 to 20,000 people. See, we can't take the reality of the humanness out of it. That's serious. I mean, if you and I were going to give out food for 20,000 people, we'd have big totes. You'd take a tote. If you were going to sit them in 50, you'd take a tote and sit it in front of them. Mm-hmm. So I want to know where the totes come from. Did they run to Walmart real quick? Is there a tote angel? 12 large baskets came from somewhere.
Because they carry everybody. I would imagine carry Yes, it's with them everywhere all the time. You know?
Going on.
We got to study it. We got to send the message to Brother Amir Sarfati, who lives there. Tell him, just go stand there in Bethsaida and ask the question. Somebody will tell you. Chapter 6, John chapter 6. Here we go again. Feeding the 5,000. Let's listen to what he says here. After these things, Jesus went over the Sea of Galilee, which is the Sea of Tiberias, and a great multitude followed him, because they saw his signs which he performed on those who were diseased. And Jesus went up the mountain, and there he sat with his disciples. Now the Passover, a feast of the Jews, was near. Jesus lifted up his eyes, and seeing a great multitude coming toward him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Now he saw him. This says he saw him coming toward him. Yes. I'm in John 6,
mm-hmm.
verse 5. Where shall we buy bread that these may eat? Verse 6. But this he said to test him, for he himself knew what he would do. Philip answered him, 200 denarii worth of bread is not sufficient for them, that every one of them may have a little. One of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, said to him, there's a lad here who has 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. What are they among so many? And that's our challenge in all of our lives, is that we look at what we got and say, but what is this among so many? Or like the lady in the Old Testament that had the little jar of oil and became an oil baroness. She said, I don't have anything in the house but just a jar of oil. But we got to realize little is much when God is in it. Amen. Verse 10, Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in the place. So the men sat down in number about 5,000. They sat in groups of 50. That would have been 100 groups of 50. You realize how big of a crowd that is? I mean, you know how big of a grassy place that is? That's huge. That's huge. And they're up on a mountain. Where did they get some Dr. Pepper?
I don't remember reading that they had any Dr. Pepper.
I'm a pepper. You're a pepper. Wouldn't they want to be a pepper too? 11. Jesus took the loaves, and when he gave thanks, he distributed them to the disciples. And the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. So it's not like they each got a little bite. It's just very interesting to me.
It is.
So I say, Father, in the name of Jesus, give me a dream and show you how you did this. Show me how you did this. Or vision. Or just have an angel sit down right here in this chair and tell us. So when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remains so that nothing is lost. Therefore, they gathered them up and filled 12 baskets with the fragments of 5 barley loaves, which were left over by those who had eaten. Then those men, when they had seen the sign that Jesus did, said, this is truly the prophet who is to come into the world. And the little boy went home saying, check this out, Mom.
Yeah.
15. Because you know Jesus rewards the one that sows the seed. And it produced immediately. That's another one of those immediately. The seed produces after its own kind.
Mm-hmm.
Whether or not you've ever seen it doesn't change whether or not it's true. Because he just saw it right in front of our eyes. And Jesus said, things that I do, you will do. And greater in my name. 15. I'm in John 6:15. Therefore, when Jesus perceived that they were about to come and take him by force to make him king, he departed again to the mountain by himself, alone. And when evening came, his disciples went down to the sea, got in the boat, went over the sea toward Capernaum, And it was already dark, and Jesus had not come to them. The sea arose because a great wind was blowing. So when they had rowed about 3 or 4 miles, they saw Jesus walking on the sea and drawing near the boat, and they were afraid.
It would freak out a little bit.
Just a little. He said to them, "Don't be afraid. It is I." Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the land where they were going. Now, did you notice Peter didn't get any time in John's gospel about walking on the water? Peter and Andrew were brothers and had a business. James and John were brothers and had a business, and the two businesses were side by side as fishing business. So there was a slight rivalry between John and Peter because John beat Peter to the tomb. But John didn't want to go in, but Peter did. So even though he beat him, Peter went in first. That's all right in the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
Then they willingly received him into the boat, and immediately the boat was at the other side. Wait, they still had 3 miles to go, and immediately the boat was at the other side. They were translated right there as soon as Jesus got into the boat. Verse 22, and the following day when the people were standing on the other side of the sea, saw that there was no other boat there except that one which his disciples had entered, and that Jesus had not entered the boat with his disciples, but his disciples had gone away alone. However, other boats came from Tiberias, the place where they ate bread after the Lord had given thanks. When the people therefore saw that Jesus was not there, nor his disciples, they also got into boats and came into Capernaum seeking Jesus. That's a whole lot of boats and people right there. When they found him on the other side of the sea, they said to him, "Rabbi, when did you come here?" Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, you seek me, not because you saw the signs, but because you ate of the loaves and were filled, and now you want something else to eat. Do not labor for the food which perishes, but for the food which endures to everlasting life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set his seal on him." That's where Brother Copeland says, if your job's not letting you study the Word, I'd quit that one and find a better one that lets you at least study the Word. And sow a seed and get your life in order. 30. Therefore they said to him, "What sign will you perform then, that we may see it and believe you? What work will you do? Our fathers ate man in the desert, as it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat." Then Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread of from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world." They said to him, "Lord, give us this bread always." Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. But I said to you that you have not seen me, and yet you do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will by no means cast out. For I have come down from heaven, not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me." That's another one of those verses that says, I only do what I see my Father do. 39. This is the will of my Father who sent me, that of all he has given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up at the last day. And this is the will of him who sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes in him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. And what is the last day? The rapture, which is what we studied tonight. Do you read this verse? Don't know. If you need a good lesson on the rapture, go to the YouTube channel and look at our Establishing Your Faith, EYF, and we studied the rapture tonight. It was a really good teaching. Verse 41, I'm in John 6, 41. The Jews then complained about him because he said, I'm the bread which came down from heaven. And they said, is this not Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How is it then that he says, I've come down from heaven? Jesus therefore answered and said to them, do not murmur among yourselves. He got a gift of the Spirit of what they were saying. No man can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught by God. That's Isaiah 54. Therefore, excuse me, everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me, Jesus. Not that anyone has seen the Father, except he who is from God, he has seen the Father. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me has everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. He's getting ready to stretch him right out of their socks. Sandals. They didn't have socks. Then the Jews quarreled among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I will raise him up at the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I in him. As the living Father sent me, I live because of the Father. So he who feeds on me will live because of me. And what are you and I doing? We are living on the word of God, the bread of heaven, Jesus, the living word. We don't pick the Bible up and eat it. And Jesus wasn't saying, grab my arm and start chewing. That's not what was going on. 58. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your father ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. These things he said in the synagogue as he taught in Capernaum. Therefore, many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is a hard saying. Who can understand it? When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said to them, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him by my Father. Now, this is John chapter 6, verse 66. 6, 6, 6. Check it out. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. And what's that number? The sign of man. They got stuck in their rut rather than going to the fire that night and saying, Jesus, explain this to us, what you were just saying. They just walked away. '67, and Jesus said to the 12, do you want to go too? Some accounts say that 500 disciples walked away from him that day. Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we have come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered them, did I not choose you, the 12, and one of you is a devil? He spoke of Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon, for it was he who would betray him, being one of the 12. And Jesus knew it on that day. Help us, Pastor. What's it mean? The word of God is the bread of life come down from heaven. You will know the truth, and the truth will set you free. When we take our communion and we take our bread, that's his body broken and his blood shed. And Jesus put it into a piece of bread and the fruit of the vine. And then instructed us, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me. Verse 63, it is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits numbers, nothing. The words that I speak to you, the very word is filled with the Spirit of God and life. These words have within themselves the innate power to bring themselves to pass. If you go to Luke chapter 1, when Mary said, how can this be, seeing I know not a man? And the angel said to her, with God, all things are possible. Mary said, be it done unto me according to your word. And she was pregnant immediately when she stood in front of Elizabeth. Elizabeth said, blessed is she who believes, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. The word itself. And you grab these words off this page and begin to believe in it. The word of God itself has designed in that word power to bring itself to pass. And all it takes now is our faith to activate that word and say, I believe it, I receive it. No different than, well, let's just put it into example. Romans 8:11 says, the same Spirit which raised Jesus from the dead dwells in me. Well, if it dwells in me, and it's the Spirit that gave Jesus life, then it's got to put life in my body. Because there's only one Holy Spirit. There's not a big HG and a little one. There's one Holy Spirit. And he was in Jesus and raised him from the dead. And he's in you and I producing life inside of this body from the inside out. And he's leading you from the inside out every day. In Jesus' mighty name. Now, there's so much to say about these chapters, but our time is done. And this program's called Read the Word, Not Preach the Word. Sometimes I do preach the word, but Jesus was teaching everybody to receive life from him. And of course, those that just want to be religious, they don't want it. And don't be that religious person. Change as you see it coming. There was many who went back and never followed, and they were so sad after he raised from the dead. They had to be filled with sorrow because they actually walked away from him when he was the Son of God. And they actually had believed him to be the Son of God. And how disheartening is that? Now, we want to give everybody a chance to be born again. Maybe you've never made Jesus Lord of your life. You've never been saved, never been born again. You never become a believer, never prayed the prayer, whatever the thing is you've heard. And if you've never heard anything, this is how you become a believer. We're going to lead you in a prayer. It's called the prayer of salvation. It's the prayer of receiving Jesus and God into your life. And from that point, for the rest of your life will never be the same if you choose to walk with God every day. So pray this with me. Everybody pray it. Young and old, rich and poor. Everybody just pray. No matter if you prayed it 100 times. Why? Because it's filled with life for you. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I know I need you in my life every day.
I know I need you in my life every day.
And according to John 3:16.
And according to John 3:16.
When I believe in you,
when I believe in you,
you give me everlasting life.
You give me everlasting
and
life.
I will not perish.
And I will not perish.
And I thank you for
it. And I thank you.
Now get really bold. Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
Jesus, I believe you are the Son of God.
I receive you into my life.
I receive you into
all of your grace and your mercy.
All of your grace and your
all of your love and your righteousness.
All of your love and your
filling every part of my life.
Filling every part of my life.
With all the fullness of God.
With all the fullness.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
Fill me with your Holy Spirit.
So I live in power.
So I live in power.
Understand the word of God.
Understand the word.
Pray
of God.
In my heavenly language.
Pray in my heavenly language.
And live a successful life.
And live a successful life.
As a believer every day.
As a believer every
I
day.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
I pray this in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. And you just did the most important thing you can do in your life. And that is take this first step and begin to walk with God. He now lives on the inside. The experience you're feeling right now, you're experiencing is like, wow, something's going on inside. Yeah, God is filling you on the inside. God is. I'm experiencing it right now inside my own being. And I've been a believer for, what's my number? 49 years now? 47 years. I've been a believer. Experiencing that same experience. Why? Because I just said, Jesus, come into my life. And what's he want to do? He wants to fill us up over and over and over and over and over. You can't get too full of God.
Amen. Amen.
It is impossible to become so heavenly minded you're not any earthly good unless you're just becoming a fruitcake floating on a cloud somewhere. The more you think like heaven, the greater life is. That you can have the mind of Christ. Now, what do I do, Pastor? How do I make it? You learn to walk with God. You take this Read the Word program, and then you just keep following us, go back and start it over again. In your daily reading yourself, I recommend reading Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the book of Acts, and do it several times, because it begins to introduce you to Jesus and his ways, and then the ways of the New Testament church. And then as you come here with us on Read the Word, just the natural flow of life, you will be discipled into the ways of God. Every night, Monday through Saturday, we're on at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time and 7 Central. And, you know, somewhere about 15 minutes after we start the teaching, once we get everybody in, get all the technology working, about 15, 20 minutes after we start the teaching, and you can hear the word of faith in God taught to you every single night. and will lead you in the paths of righteousness. All you got to do is add your faith and your work in Jesus' mighty name. So click like, subscribe, hit the bell, and continually be a part of this. We always receive communion on Sunday for Read the Word, so make sure you do that. Send this to your friends, your family, your loved ones, the guys you hang out with at work. Tell them, man, look at this. You can study the Bible all the way from Genesis clear to Revelation. We're on day 290 today, 291. And that means we got 291 videos already made. Wow. That's amazing. And it's been a great study. You'll thoroughly enjoy it. It is a YouTube playlist, and you can find that link right down in the comments or in the notes of this program. Well, that's all we got. Till we see you again. Roger Oxy, hi, brother. Love you. Good to have you with us today. And every day. It's always good to see your smiling face, even though all we saw was just an R. Put a smiling face in or something, brother. Love you, man. And to all of you around the world, wherever you may be, there's 50 nations of you that are joining in with us on our programs, and we thank you. And we bless you. If you want to get this translated into your native language, we want to help you do it. Honestly, God is good, and he will help us make that happen. So contact me. My email address and website's right there where you can get to it. Remember this, as we say always. We love you.
We love you.
And God loves you. And Jesus is
Lord.
See you soon.